Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the April Fool's Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
As many of you know, April Fool's Day is upon us here. And we have to admit, we never really know what to do about
well,
April
in general?
I mean, it's a joke that we're on the other 51 weeks, right? I mean, if Scott Simon comes in on April Fool's Day and does something strange, people will say, ooh, it's April Fool's Day. But what could we possibly do as an April Fool's joke that would cause anyone to even pay attention? Nothing.
Well, we could give out a right answer.
Well, maybe we could, like, not insult anybody. That would be good.
We could be nice to our producer, Dougie.
Nah.
If you have a question to...
Hold it. You're trying to sneak by here. I got all kinds of stuff to read to you.
I was hoping that in your dotage...
Yeah,
I would be able to slide stuff past you.
This is a great letter from Austin Matlow from Jeffersonville, Indiana. Dear Click and Clack, isn't technology wonderful?
Isn't it?
I like that. There are, of course, car computers, but there has also been for some time on the market the Car Talk computer. I don't know what that means. I was recently writing a winning entry to your latest contest, whatever it was. Before mailing it in, however, I wanted to make sure that all the words were spelled correctly. Spelled S-P-E-L-E-D. Dusting off my spell checker, I typed in each word. The computer confirmed that the spelling of click, C-L-I-C-K, was correct. Imagine my surprise, however, when the automatic Merriam-Webster thesaurus kicked in and furnished the following definition and synonyms. Click. Verb, to result favorably according to plans and desires. Something really
right,
clicks.
Something right, something clicks, right, exactly.
As in succeed, go over, pan out, prove out.
Yeah, I got it.
I wonder what would happen with clack. Mm. This time the computer displayed four definitions. One, clack, verb, to emit a ready flow of inconsequential talk.
It's obvious now who is who. I must be Click and you must be Clack.
I knew you'd think that. As in chat, babble, bribble, cackle, chatter, clatter, dither, gab, jaw, patter, da da da.
I guess the mystery is solved. People always ask me. People stop me in the street.
But there's more. Number two, verb. To make a rapid succession of short, sharp noises and as in rattle, bicker, clatter, shatter.
Rant, rave.
It gets better. Number three, noun. Idle and often loud and incessant talk. As in chatter, babble, blabber, cackle, chat, chit-chat, gab, palaver, prate, prattle. Four, noun. A person who habitually retails private, scandalous, or sensational and often inaccurate information. As in gossip circulator, gossiper, quidnunc, scandalmonger, sieve, talebearer, telltale. Car Talk. At this point, a cloud of blue smoke filled the room and something resembling automatic transmission fluid sprayed out of the computer, which now makes a loud da 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 sound.
Boy, I guess the mystery is finally solved, huh?
The mystery may be solved.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Karen from Boise, Idaho.
Karen.
Karen with a K.
Yeah, with a K.
Boise.
Just like a regular Karen.
Just a plain old Karen.
Good for you.
Plain old Karen.
A good traditionalist. Good.
What's up, Karen?
We kind of have an unusual problem. I have a Nissan pickup truck, and this happened about a year and a half ago. I guess it's more like a nuisance than a problem because we've been dealing with it for a year and a half. But when it gets cold, like at night, you know, if it drops down to freezing or even in the 40s,
uh-huh.
The parking lights automatically turn on. And this happened, I'll tell you, this happened when we moved here from Southern California, because we don't worry anymore about getting our car stolen, so we got these Viper car alarms removed, And it seemed to start happening after that.
Oh.
And we took it back to the place that took the car alarms out, and they said,
impossible.
Well, don't turn your parking lights on at night. And they thought that we were leaving the door open. That was why the battery was running out. And so what we've been doing since then is just taking out the fuse, and we drive without the fuse, except if we're driving at night, then we put the fuse in and remember when we get home to take it out, you know.
What a pain in the butt that is.
But the alarm that you had in there,
uh-huh.
when the alarm was activated,
uh-huh.
would flash the parking lights, would it not?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, they didn't unhook it.
Oh. But when you first moved to Boise,
yeah.
You didn't get the car alarm uninstalled immediately.
No, it's like a week or two.
And during that week, you did not have this problem.
No, but actually, you know, we did have a problem because they started sort of going off randomly.
The alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, that was a good enough reason to also to take them out.
Well, you may need to solve this. You may need a full-scale electrical fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, that will certainly fix it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
as long as you're covered by the adequate insurance.
I mean, if they are right, I suppose it's entirely possible that the headlight switch is faulty. Is this the kind that's mounted on the stock? Where do you turn the headlights on? Are they turned on?
Yeah, it comes out from the steering wheel.
Yeah,
the stock.
From the steering column, called
the
stock.
Yeah, I suppose that's one possibility. The switch could be lazy, and I suppose under the right circumstances could turn itself on. I don't know what those right circumstances are. You could have a faulty headlight relay.
Right.
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 Well, so you've done is taken it to the place that disassembled the alarm.
Right.
Was it the same? Was it the company, the same company that did it? I mean, is it the?
No, because we had it put on in California, and then we had it taken off here. It was an electrical shop that puts in car stereos and car alarms and things like that.
Oh, they do install car alarms. I think you may have to go back to them.
Okay.
You may have to go back and tell them that there's something wrong, and they should keep the truck overnight, and they should come in the next morning and see the lights on, and let them figure out what it is.
Okay.
But you have actually witnessed the lights being on at night.
Oh, yeah.
You've, like, stayed up all night and watched them go on?
Oh, we've jump-started it in the mornings, you know, when we've forgotten to take out the fuse. But,
yeah.
You know, you just sort of learn to live with it, and it's high time I do something about it.
But it sounds like, all in all, you made a good deal because you said you moved there and immediately decided, you weren't even there a week, when you decided you no longer had to worry about having your car stolen.
Well, you know why?
Why?
No people there. You can't have car thieves if you have what? No people.
Yeah. Cows don't steal cars?
No.
No.
Good luck, Karen.
All right. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hello. My name is Just Tom. I'm calling from Santa Rosa, California.
Just Tom. What an interesting name.
Thank you. I'm in the phone book under T for Tom.
Just Tom. Santa Rosa.
And I drive a 1975 Toyota pickup truck with 165,000 miles on it.
Well,
really? Things last a long time in Santa Rosa, don't they?
Wow.
I mean, cars last a long time.
There's no rust on it at all. It's really good out here.
Marriages might not last long.
But
no,
the cars do.
You've been divorced yourself, just Tom?
Once.
You probably got married in 75. He still got the truck and the wife's gone.
Oh, well.
The truck lasted a lot longer.
The truck lasted a lot longer. And that's as it should be. A woman is only a woman, but a pickup is a pickup. You know what I mean?
That's for sure.
So what's up?
Well, it's a good truck. I drove up to a toll booth, put the clutch in, and all of a sudden I got a screeching noise. There was nothing leading up to it, but when I put the clutch in, I get this big screech.
Oh, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
If I put it in neutral, let the clutch out, it doesn't screech as much.
As much?
When the clutch is in, that's when it screeches. If it's in gear, it doesn't screech. If it's in neutral, it doesn't screech much.
So it only screeches when your clutch pedal is all the way to the floor?
Right.
Oh, good.
That's good. Do you want to do this yourself?
I'd like to. Can I?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you have any extra knuckles you can spare?
Oh, no.
You got to bust a bunch of them. You've got to take the transmission out.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But that's easy.
About a year ago, I changed the slave cylinder, and I was noticing it was low on fluid, I was kind of hoping it would see something simple like that.
No, it's not.
Yeah, how long did it take you to change the slave cylinder?
A couple hours.
Okay, you don't want to do this.
No. If it's, for the first time, don't forget the 8-factor. I mean, it takes you 10 minutes. But 2 hours is not bad for the first time. You got to find it. You got to find the jack stands. You got to crawl underneath. You keep losing the tools. You got to go get the right tools. 2 hours is fine.
No, I don't want to pull off a transmission. I know some people in town that work cheap.
There you go.
It's easy to do, though.
He doesn't want to do it.
Tom, it's simple.
Pulling the transmission?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a rough one.
No, that's too hard. Come on. I mean,
this is a rear-wheel drive truck.
Yes.
And it's such a piece of cake.
No, he's not up. Have you ever built your own homemade nuclear reactor out of wood? If the answer to that is no, then you're not up for this.
My friend Dave in California, I would help him put the transmissions back in his Toyota truck, and he had a special tool to get it lined up and
use a broom handle.
He had a shop tool, and he had the lifts and the rollers and all
that. Yeah, you need all that stuff.
But see, Tom,
yep.
Trust me on this. If you can tell the women that you meet down at the Santa Rosa bar, they say, "Hi, Tom, what's new?" "Ah, I had to pull my tranny." "Oh, really? What'd you do?" "I had to put a new clutch in." Yeah.
You think that that cuts it, huh?
That's going
to
do it.
No, what they're thinking is, this poor slob didn't have enough money to pay someone. And he had to spend 25 hours on his back drinking transmission oil.
Yeah,
and he thinks, "I'm going to go out with him?"
And look at all the grease under his fingernails.
Yeah, no.
See you, Tom.
Yeah, I think you should do the right thing. Yeah. Have someone do it. But that's what you need. You need a clutch release bearing.
Ooh, okay.
You need, and in order to do that,
but the good news is it's cheap. The part is cheap.
I might as well change the clutch.
Change the whole clutch.
I would do the whole thing if you haven't done it in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right. Thank you very much. I know some good, inexpensive mechanics.
Excellent.
Good. Send us a few. We need some. Take care, Tom.
Thanks for calling, Tom.
Love your program.
Thanks.
Just Tom.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marietta from Stamford.
Marietta.
Yes.
From Martin Marietta?
No, just Marietta.
From
Stanford. Is that like Stanford University or Stamford, Connecticut?
Stamford, Connecticut.
Stamford.
With an M.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Stam.
Well, that's what I thought.
My problem is this. I drive a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
And about 3 months ago, I noticed that electric car seat operating device that makes it go forward and backwards was jammed. And when I looked underneath, I noticed that my son's, 2-year-old son's little binky pacifier had kind of gotten sucked into the track, the rubber part of it.
Yeah.
And it jammed into the track and haven't been able to move it ever since. And the problem is it's so far away from the gas pedal, I now have to drive with tape boxes and all sorts of things behind me. And I just can't move it. It moves a little bit, but it's really jammed up to the point where I can't reach.
So you can't move. The seat has 6 different degrees of freedom.
Exactly.
And you just can't move it forward and backwards.
I can move it backwards, but I can't move it forward enough so I could reach the gas pedal.
Because the binky's in the way?
The binky's stuck in the...
What the hell is this binky made out of? Titanium?
But when you move it back, doesn't that clear the binky?
No, it doesn't. Actually, I stopped at a gas station and they tried pouring some oil in it and putting a rod through there, and they fished out tiny pieces of rubber, but they weren't able to get the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe...
Oh, did he shove this binky in from the back?
He either did, or it got just drawn in as I was moving the seat forward or back.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I've always been a believer in riveting the binky to the high chair, or to the car seat.
Or to the kid's temple.
Or to the kid, right.
You can have it welded to some part of the kid's body.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, someone ought to be able to get down there and dig that out.
Well, we tried and we weren't able to do it. And I guess my question is it really expensive to bring it somewhere and have them remove this track system and...
No, not really. I mean, I don't know to what extent you gum the thing up. I mean, I don't know what a binky does to the track system. Well, how do we get these calls anyway?
this is life,
but
man.
But someone is going to have to actually unbolt the seat and take the whole thing right out.
right?
And give it a binkectomy. I mean, I don't know what you do in these situations. Yeah. I can honestly say I've never been faced with this problem, but I would imagine you may be looking at a couple of hours labor.
Okay.
So it might not be, though. I mean, if you could just loosen it and raise it up a little bit, the binky ought to slide right out.
No, I think this binky's just been mashed and mangled in there.
Yeah. We found almost all of it, except there's a piece missing.
Yeah,
That's the piece. Yeah.
And it's probably the plastic part of it, not the rubbery part of it.
Yeah, it could be.
And you've tried going, if you go all the way back with the seat and then slam it forward.
Yeah.
It just gets to that one point and it stops.
It stops, yeah. I just can't reach the pedals.
Have you tried having someone sit in the back seat and put his feet up against the seat and push on it while you're doing that?
I don't think I tried that.
I'm sure that'll break something.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're interested in trying to break something that's going to cost you many hundreds of dollars, I would recommend my brother's technique.
Yeah, that's what I would try first.
Okay.
If it were my car, but it would probably break something, and I'd be prepared to face that eventuality.
So if you're prepared to face that, then give that a shot, Marriott. If not,
do it the right way. Have someone loosen it up and take it apart.
To the Ford dealer, and they'll yank the seat out.
Okay.
And then you can save that piece. I mean, it'll be a great conversation piece. You can hang it, put it on a thread, and hang it from the rear view mirror.
No, put it in the kid's little book. You must be making a book
That's
for the
right.
kid.
That's right. I've got a book for him.
This, I mean, don't forget, it'll already be all flattened out. It'll fit right in the book. You can just
right.
scotch tape it right
what's
in.
What's this kid's name?
This is Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Nick's
Baby
first
Nicholas.
Automotive experience.
That's right.
Wonderful.
Okay.
See you later.
Good luck, Mariana.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
All right, just give me a hint. Help me out here. Just
well,
a little hint.
I'll give you a hint. It had to do with a bonk, actually many bonks in the head.
Bonk in the head?
Yeah.
It's something I can relate to, but I have no idea.
I'll have the answer in just a minute.
Bonk in the head?
65 Ford Fairlane, flying down the road. 65 Ford Fairlane, she's doing just like she told. She is my dream machine, and of my road she's queen. My 65 Ford Fairlane.
And even though NPR's structural engineer calls for a removal of a key load-bearing beam, which is just under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hyundai. Take the road less traveled in the newly redesigned Hyundai Santa Fe, with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you get off the beaten path a little further, and intuitive safety features that can help you see what's waiting around the bend. Plus, with generous room for five and comfortable available Napa leather seating, you can go for more drives as a family without driving each other crazy. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe. Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from TracFone Wireless, offering unlimited talk and text smartphone plans for as low as $20 a month with no contract. And with unlimited carryover data, you can keep what you don't use. All these benefits for a phone on America's largest and most dependable networks. Get high-quality smartphones at a great price. Learn more at TracFone.com. That's TracFone.com. TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
On NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast, we talk about TV, movies, and more, like the new Marvel Disney Plus series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and a definitive ranking of the best Muppets. All of that in around 20 minutes every weekday. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's historic and folkloric puzzler, and here it is.
And I still don't know what it is, historic and folkloric.
Well, this puzzler just happened to have come from my vast pile of puzzler suggestions. And it came from Benjamin Schultz, who I think was a high school student when he sent me this. And he's probably married with kids and driving a minivan now, but who knows?
We'll hear from him.
I hope. Here it is. At the beginning of the First World War, the uniform of the British soldiers included a brown cloth cap.
Ah, yes.
They had not yet discovered the advantages of metal helmets. But as the war went on, the War Office became alarmed at the high proportion of men suffering head injuries. They therefore decided to replace the cloth caps with metal helmets. Duh!
Well, it's military intelligence, and you know what that is.
Yeah, an oxymoron. From then on, all soldiers wore the metal helmets. However, and this is the puzzling part, the War Office was amazed to discover that there were more soldiers hospitalized with head injuries than ever before. Now, it can be assumed that the intensity of fighting was the same before and after the metal helmets
were introduced. Yeah.
So why should the recorded number of head injuries per battalion increase when the men were wearing metal helmets rather than cloth helmets?
And I know the answer, too.
Well, it's just an example of how statistics can lie to people and have people crying out, I knew we shouldn't have been using those damn helmets.
Get rid of those helmets!
And the reason is rather simple. Before the helmets, anyone that got hit with a piece of shrapnel and wearing a cloth helmet
did not have any injuries.
No, he was dead. He was a goner. At least with the helmets, people got a chance to survive and become part of the statistic
of injury.
Of injuries, exactly.
Better to be a statistic injury, an injury statistic, than not
a
at
death
all.
Death statistic.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. That, in fact, without the helmets, they had many more fatalities, and with the helmets, they had fewer fatalities but more injuries.
And you don't think you're going to catch flack on this one?
Not me. Benjamin Schultz is going to take
wherever he went.
And I hope he shows up. That little no good.
I thought we were going to hear from him, but now I know we're not going to hear.
Oh, no. He's going to be out in Laramie, Wyoming.
Well, he probably mailed a letter yesterday because he heard the puzzle. He heard his name mentioned last week, and he sent them, and now he's at the post office trying to get the letter back.
Well, I thought it was pretty good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have used
it. I love it.
I'm with you, Ben. We'll take the heat together.
I love it because it's so obfuscated.
And twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a winner. The winner is Marilyn Murphy from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the thousands of correct answers that we got, Marilyn is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get, among other things, a copy of Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. You've heard of gifts for the person who has everything? Well, this is a gift for the person who thinks he knows everything. Your father.
Good work, Marilyn. Anyway, we'll have a new, I would have to say,
challenging, folkloric, historic.
Let's not build it up too much. We'll have a different puzzle coming up.
Well, that's something.
That's something.
Doesn't always happen.
No, I had to grope for a modifier, and I found one.
Different is good.
Yeah, it'll be occurring in the third half or maybe the fourth half of today's show. We'll see how much energy we have. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about anything at all, even your car. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Maybe it should be anything talk.
Could be.
We could do that.
Hello.
You said, even your car, you said.
Even your car.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on anything talk.
Hey, guys.
What do you want to talk about? Anything?
Well, yeah, anything. This is Lee down in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Lee?
Right.
Where are you again?
Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Natchitoches.
It's pronounced K-N-A-C-K-A-D-I-S-H.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. I wrote dish down there.
Yeah, Natchitoches.
What's up, Lee?
Guys, I got a 1994 Lincoln town car. Got 103,000 miles on it, and it kicks and bucks on me occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms are, it's like you be going down the road, and all of a sudden it's like you tap the brake, and that's the buck, and then it'll kick back up like, you know, it's grabbed another gear or something, and then it'll settle down, and it may not do it again for a long time, and then it may do it again for the next 5 miles.
I don't get it yet. You're driving along, say, 35, 40 miles an hour?
It could be 35, it could be 25, it could be 85.
And you touch the brake pedal.
No, it feels like you touch the brake pedal.
It feels like you touch the brake pedal. It just, out of the blue, it suddenly feels, it's almost like stopping and then it picks up again.
Right. Now, this happened about 3 years ago when I took it in and they said it was the whoop tube.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
And I said, well, what in the world is the whoop tube?
I would have said that.
It's this big tube that goes behind the fuel injectors down into the transmission, and they replaced it. And it ran great, and it just started back, about 6-7 months ago.
Really? So it
and
ran
so I
great?
I wondered if y'all had ever heard of it.
A whoop tube?
A whoop, that's what he called it.
Well, I never heard of a whoop tube.
Well, I just wanted to get another opinion.
Well, you got one.
If y'all never heard of it.
No. So did this guy give you a whoop tube, huh?
He said it ran from where to where?
It runs from the back of the fuel injectors. It kind of hooks into the, with the breather system, and then runs down into the front of the transmission. And it's about a 2-inch diameter tube, and it's kind of, it's bent a little bit, the snake down between the firewall.
So you've seen this thing?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it's about 2.5 feet long.
Was it broken?
Yeah, it had a hole in it.
It had a hole in it?
Mm-hmm.
That would explain everything. Well, I wish I could help you. I mean, I never heard of a whoop tube, and I can't even imagine what this thing is.
Well, have you heard of any other reason why the transmission would kick in butt like that?
There is a snorkel that conveys fresh air from the air cleaner into the intake manifold. And
maybe that's what it is.
And
maybe they're calling the whoop tube.
Well, whoop. You know, there's some funny things to go on down there in Louisiana.
Wow.
So it could be that in fact, is what had a hole in it. And that can cause the thing to momentarily lose power and to misbehave on acceleration.
Uh-huh.
But there's no connection between the engine and the transmission with this whoop tube.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have the whoop tube removed and see if, in fact, it's got a hole in it like it did the last time.
I mean, is that guy still around? The guy?
He's got a shop over here.
Well, jeez,
it's only like $125.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mess with it. I mean, I know it's nice to get a second opinion, but you ain't going to get one from us.
And you spent half of that on the phone call.
No, this is your nickel, guys.
Oh, is it? Oh, jeez. All right. Well, see you, Lee.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good luck. Hey, you'll never guess what it's time for.
Time to stop dangling our participles?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. A few years ago, my brother and I and the plaintiffs in a large class action lawsuit decided that we should revisit some of our previous callers to find out if our advice to them was actually good advice.
And that was the origin of this segment, Stump the Chumps, which is one of the dumbest ideas we ever came up with.
No, it's so embarrassing.
Oh, it's brutal. All right, let's just get it over with. Who's this week's Stump Chumper?
Well, it's Wendy from Iowa City, Iowa. She called us recently because whenever she and her husband were riding together in her 88 Honda, the windshield would completely fog up within minutes.
Remember her? Yeah, were they newlyweds or just real frisky?
No, I don't know about that. Wendy said that this never happens when she's in the car alone or with anyone other than her husband.
Well, I should hope not. During the year, we could actually open a window.
Well, we've tried cracking the windows.
Yeah.
So we tried opening the skylight a little bit.
You got to tell us more about him, then.
Here's the test.
Oh, gosh.
He needs a snorkel. You know the snorkels that you buy at the sporting goods store?
Excellent.
And you need to have breathe out the window.
Yeah, I like it. Because we have to determine,
is
the source of the moisture in his lungs, or is it some other part of his body?
After this phone call, my problem might be solved. He might refuse to ride with me.
A snorkel. I mean, not very elegant, but at least it would tell us whether it's vapor from his breath or whether he's somehow sublimating.
Let's see what happened. Hey, Wendy, are you there?
I am.
Good.
Okay, before we get the results of the snorkel test, we have to Carmen Mirandize you.
Okay.
Is it true, Wendy, that the responses that you're about to give here today on Stump the Chumps have in no way been influenced by money sent to you by our staff, by the staff at National Public Radio, or by promises of future discounts at Barnacle Bob's Scuba Hut in Iowa City?
No, but I'd be open to bribes.
Well, did it help?
It kind of depends on how you define success.
Well, let's hear it.
It did reduce the fogging.
Yeah.
But my husband can't breathe.
But it is his breath, then, that's causing the fogging up.
Well, the problem...
It cut the fogging by about half.
Yeah, the problem, then, is you.
It's me?
Yeah, well, he's obviously so aroused in your presence that he's panting. He can't contain himself.
That's
right.
That has to be it.
Yeah, I think that is it.
You're just
good for you.
You're just driving him crazy, Wendy.
Good for you, Wendy. That's great. I think that's wonderful.
And the reason he couldn't breathe through the snorkel is the tube wasn't big enough because he's panting so hard.
Yeah.
He can't get enough air through that tube. On the other hand, he could be in full anxiety because you're such a lousy driver.
Oh, good heavens, yeah.
You know what he needs? He needs yoga.
Yoga?
Oh.
Yeah, to control his breathing. Yeah.
Okay.
He needs to breathe from the stomach, not from the lungs.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that'll probably go over bigger than the snorkel test.
All right.
I'm wagering I won't get him out again with the snorkel. Twice was enough.
Well, Wendy, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps. You're
Thank
a good
you.
Sport, and so's your husband.
Yeah, he sure was.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Valerie. We're traveling entertainers living in a 65 Airstream travel trailer. Home is wherever we are.
Valerie? Who is we?
Jerry and I.
Valerie and Jerry. So that's your act, Jerry and Valerie?
Well, our act is called the Melodious Monks.
The Melodious Monks.
Oh, man.
I love it.
When you say 65, you mean 1965 or 65 feet long?
1965.
An Airstream.
And you pull this thing with a pickup truck, huh?
No, actually, here's the dilemma.
Dodge Neon.
We pull it with a 1979 custom camper that's very cool with a wood stove, but has very serious carburetor troubles, and we have been struggling with it for a year. Or we move on to this very cool 1989 Cadillac.
Oh. What make is the camper?
It's a 79 Dodge 3/4 ton, and it's great for pulling the Airstream and all of that, but it doesn't want to idle.
And what does the Cadillac have to be said for it?
Well, for $3,000 we can get it running and it's cool.
Oh,
pull out the back seat and it can function the same as the Dodge van, and you know we can move on. Air conditioning, more comfortable to drive in.
Oh, then
what are you waiting for?
You say go for the Caddy, but what if we could just fix the carburetor on the Dodge van? That's, you know, maybe that's possible and we'd save ourselves.
Why would you want to be spending your life driving around in a Dodge when you could be driving around in an 89 Caddy?
Well, we've been saying the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, a Dodge is a Dodge. It's not a Caddy.
But the Dodge has a custom camper kit inside.
Yeah, but you got the, how many, there's only you and Jerry. How many dogs do you have?
None.
Well, then you're all set. How many, it's just you and Jerry, right?
That's
well,
it.
Maybe the camper is the summer place.
Could be.
Yeah, we have two addresses here, the camper and the Airstream.
Right.
Yeah. We're going into the summer home now. We'll be back next weekend.
So what do Melodious Monks do?
We're a musical variety show.
And where are you now?
Right now, we're in Avon Park, Florida, visiting Dad, and we're getting ready to zip down to the Keys for a couple of gigs.
What
really?
A tough life.
It's wonderful.
So then after Key West, where are you off to?
Texas for a few gigs, and then Southern California, and then we're going to spend the summer in the Northwest.
Working?
Yeah, every Saturday night.
Oh, so your gigs are basically
one night?
One or two nights
Babe,
a week.
What the heck did you do?
I mean, wait a minute, let me get this right.
Wait a minute, you
wait
may
a minute,
work
let me
less
this
than
right.
us.
You work one day a week?
One night a week.
Who could get away with something as absurd as that?
Well, you know, you take somebody with an MBA and you take somebody else with good musical talent and you work out the perfect life.
Man, you have done that.
Jeez.
But well, dump the camper. Let's not even discuss that. Dump the camper, buy the Caddy, and let's talk about how did you manage to... How long have you been doing this?
14 months.
Months?
Oh.
14 months.
What were you doing before this?
We were both up in Northern California. I used to work in corporate America, and he was living in the woods as a musician.
And did you meet while you were doing something in the woods?
Well, we met at yoga class.
Yoga. Oh, boy, I would have guessed pottery class.
Oh, how about working with Lexan?
He wanted to hit the road to tour as a musician, and I was done with corporate America.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I don't blame. Well, I think this is wonderful. I think more people should be done with corporate America.
Yeah.
We make too much stuff. We sell too much stuff that people don't need.
Yeah.
And I think we need more of you and Jerry.
I'm with you, kid.
And go for the Caddy. You only go around once.
All right. Well, we'll send you a photo of ourselves before and after.
Oh, please do.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling, Valerie.
Thank
Say hello to Jerry.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, Before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Ah, you're going to refine the new puzzler. That's it. You're going to go through and make sure all the little details are right, subjected to that last rigorous test.
No, I'm going to get another donut. We'll be back in a minute.
There's a highway where the house was then. Used to be a two-rut track. Winding north to fields of corn, past the old wood shack. I can still remember like it was yesterday. Bouncing down that two-rut track, Daddy's old Model A. He'd give it a crank and then give thanks, and that old car would stop. You could hear him grinding gears as he rolled on past the bump. Mama would shout from up at the house, don't be driving so fast. Daddy would wave and holler, okay, give her just a little more gas. It would bounce and bark and then get stuck down by the live bush. Daddy would laugh and point to the back and we'd all get out and push. Just a hunk of rust and a cloud of dust, that's what Mama would say. We knew better because her daddy would have let her, she'd be driving that Model A.
And even though Martha Stewart flings a hand-painted Easter egg at her radio whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Joe knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
I'm Jesse Thorne. On this week's Bullseye, Christopher Lloyd, the Back to the Future star, tells me why he's so enjoyed haunting my nightmares for 30 years.
It's fun, but I love it. I mean, it's just to be that nasty, put that little squeaky little shoe in the dip.
That's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Did I ever tell you about Krusty's wedding?
No, I didn't even know Krusty was married.
Oh, Krusty's been married like 5 times.
No.
Yes, anyway, on the occasion of his most recent wedding, he had to take a long trip to meet his bride-to-be.
Yeah.
And, you know, the arrangements have been made.
If she dies, she dies. Is that mentioned here? No.
No, okay. No. And it was important that he get there. It was quite a distance away. I think it was in some place like Unadilla, New York.
Wow.
So
that's
he thought it was important that he should take his most reliable car. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to be late because she told him, if you're late for the wedding and it's off.
It's off.
Absolutely off. And it's not every day that a geezer like him gets to marry a teenager.
Tell me about it.
That isn't a blood relative. So anyway.
Yeah.
He fires up his most reliable car, his 65 Falcon, and he makes his way through Massachusetts onto Route 7 in New York.
Yeah.
And he's bebopping along and all's right with the world, and poof, the car backfires and dies, and he coasts to the side of the road. And he realizes immediately that his points have burnt out. And he says, oh, shucks, if only I had another set of points. And he opens the glove box, and to his amazement, is a brand new set of ignition points.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a salami sandwich.
That too. And as luck would have it, his entire toolkit is in the glove box. It consists of a screwdriver, a hammer, and a jackknife. So he opens the hood, takes off the distributor cap, and proceeds to remove the little screw that holds the points in.
Don't tell me
he
dropped it.
He deftly removes the screw, installs the new points, and drops the screw. Where does it go? Where it always goes.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the distributor. And he can't get it out.
Phew.
He can see it.
Mm-hmm.
He can even touch it with his screwdriver, but he can't get it out. He says, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Runs to the trunk, opens the trunk, and he finds in there, that's the kind of stuff you usually find in the trunk.
Another salami sandwich.
The jack.
Yeah.
Well, at first, he considers jacking up the car and tipping it over onto its roof. And if he were to do that, the screw would fall out.
Sure.
But he dismisses that possibility because it might damage the paint.
Yeah.
he finds a 50-pound bag of dog food. He says, dog food? I don't even own a dog. He finds a junky old lamp that he bought at a garage sale. This was to be the wedding present for his teenage bride-to-be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
The usual stuff.
Using one or a combination of these things.
He is able to extricate.
He manages to extricate the screw from its hiding place.
Inside
the distributor. Within a matter of minutes.
Wow.
And he does not tip the car over on its roof.
All right, now, a jack?
Yeah, your standard bumper jack.
A bag of dog food?
Yeah, Iams, 50 pounds.
Iams, 50 pounds.
Yeah, or yours.
Doesn't have a dog.
Yorms.
an old lamp.
Yeah.
A salami sandwich.
And a gallon of
Filippo
Berio.
Filippo Berio
extra virgin
olive oil. And using one or more of these items.
Yes.
And the screwdriver, the knife, and whatever else.
Well, and his entire toolkit.
And the hammer.
Right.
The
screwdriver, the jackknife, and the hammer.
Ah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So if you know how he does it, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or waste some precious electrons by emailing us your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is still 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Josepha. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Josepha.
Yes.
I love your name.
Thank you. So do I.
Yeah, they were hoping for a boy, huh?
Yeah, that's a long story.
Like, it's a good thing they weren't shooting for Vinny. Vinefa would have been funny. All right, now, I'm ashamed to say this, but we are all subject to this. I mean, we try as we will.
Stereotyping?
We all stereotype. And now, I know that my brother is sitting here saying to himself, now, in what way is Josepha wacky? Because she lives in Anchorage. So, and you got to be wacky somehow, and I am trying, and you sound like a perfectly normal person.
Yeah, don't let that fool you.
But in some way, you must be wacko, because why else would you be living in Anchorage, Alaska?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Anchorage, Alaska?
Hell no.
It's beautiful up here.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, so what's wrong with your car?
And it's not crowded.
Yeah. Okay, sure, yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's good, yeah. All
right. So here's the deal.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I have a 1982 Subaru sedan, two-door, a little white GLF.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, you guys, this is not just a car. This is a family member.
See, all of this information you're giving us is filling in the unknowns in the wacko equation. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. So maybe I'll answer it when I give you my dissertation here. This car has been in my life for 16 years. She runs wonderfully well. She's like my friend. Her name is Phoebe. And I took her into the shop because I heard this. So every time I turned on the ignition, I heard a flushing sound coming through. It almost sounded like it was coming through the dashboard. And my heater stopped working.
Yeah.
So this sounded like someone was flushing a toilet.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So I took it into the shop, and a couple hours later, they called me and said that she has a hole in her number 4 cylinder. Oh. And the only way they could fix it is to put in a new engine, and it will cost thousands more than this car is worth.
Mm. Of course.
So I'm crushed. It's like they gave her the death knell. She's got 6 months to live, and I don't want a new car.
No, she doesn't have six months.
6 minutes.
She's dead already.
So I'm calling you to find a different answer because I don't like the one they gave me.
I mean, what's our definition here of death knell? I mean, it sounded like you said simply because this is going to cost thousands more than the car is worth. I mean, there's some embedded rule you have that you never spend more than the car is worth. Where'd you get that rule?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's the people around me are telling me I should not put that kind of money into this car. Now, her body leaves a little bit to be desired. you know, she was rusting out. I had to duct tape her floorboards.
Duct tape the floorboards.
Yeah.
I would have to say it's time to junk it. Because even under the best of circumstances, it's going to be rusted like crazy. And it's probably structurally unsound. So it would be crazy to put a rebuilt engine into this thing. Now, alternatively, you could find a used engine for a couple of $100, but not in Anchorage.
No, true.
No, but
I've looked at that.
The first thing to determine is whether or not it is structurally sound. Because the rule about not spending more money than the car is worth is complete hogwash.
Yeah.
My brother violates that rule.
Every time I get gas.
Up the dark with gas, right?
Every time I get gas, if I fill up the tank, I'm spending more than the car is worth. So we know that rule doesn't apply because it can last for many, many years beyond that time. But the real question is, do you want to waste money on something that's a death trap? Because rust doesn't hold stuff together. And if the frame is really rusted, then the car, if you hit something, it'll collapse. It'll fold up.
It may just disappear. You may find yourself sitting there.
In the snow.
In the snow and no car.
The car is gone.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, and you're sort of reiterating what my friends and husband have been telling me. I guess I just needed to hear it from you.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Okay.
But you'll have to move on.
Yeah, it's time to move on, find a new friend.
Okay.
And move to Point Barrow.
No thanks, I'll stay right where I'm at.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later. But I will have to say that as wacko as those Alaskans may be, they're all happy. Or maybe they're just, who knows what they are.
Yeah. Well, she's been on hold for 4 hours waiting to talk to us.
And she waited.
And she waited.
Because there's no one else to talk to.
Nothing to do, no. If you have nothing to do and you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marco. I'm calling from Seattle.
Marco.
Yeah.
Marco, you sound like maybe you're from Switzerland,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, from Ireland.
From Ireland.
Irlandese.
Yeah.
You're calling from where?
Seattle, Washington.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have a family problem. I heard you are a good marriage counselor.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are. Experience is the best teacher. When you've had all the problems there are, you know
how you've had all the maritals my brother has.
What is the nature of this problem, Marco?
Okay, the nature of this problem is that my wife owns a Tempo. Mm. And sometime when my car breaks down, I drive her car.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, as you know, we call a Tempo a Scotch.
Oh, yeah? I wish you say something.
Yeah. Okay, so sometimes you drive her car.
Uh-huh. And when she's with me, she keeps yelling at me because when I'm riding, let's say, on smooth and on a flat surface.
Yeah.
I put the fifth gear between 2,500 to 3,000 RPM.
Oh, I know why, too.
She said, you're locking my engine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I think as long as I keep my foot light on the accelerator, mm-hmm, I won't have any problem.
It's a difference of, it's a matter of culture.
Well, you know, it's a lot of matters here. As in all family kinds of problems, there are lots of issues to be discussed here. I see them all immediately. There are technical issues. There are emotional issues. There are issues of ownership. Ownership. Don't forget.
Oh, no, the fact that she owns the car and he doesn't?
She owns the car and he doesn't.
Yeah,
but it's more a function of where she was born. And your wife is not from Italy.
Oh, no, she's Irish.
What does that got to do with it?
It has everything to do with it, because my belief is she was born in Ireland?
No, she was born in the United States.
Yes. She's of Irish ancestry. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You learned to drive in Italy.
Yeah.
And because you learned to drive in Italy where gas is very expensive, you were taught to shift into the highest gear as soon as possible, because that gets you the best possible mileage. Mm. However, it gets you the poorest performance. But your wife learned to drive without any thought to how much gas she was using, because gas in America
dollar
has always been so cheap. And what really counts is whether or not you're treating your car well. And what you do does not treat the car well.
Well, wait a minute now. Wait, whoa, whoa,
unless,
whoa.
Unless,
wait a minute.
Unless it's done perfectly, which I'm sure you do, Marco.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure right. He does. And
well,
fact,
I feel that the engine is picking up too many revolutions, and it's time to shift.
Does it sure. ping? Does it ping when you were, you know what pinging
no.
is?
No.
You don't know what pinging is?
No. Yeah.
No, you do know what pinging
yeah.
is.
Yeah, well, your valve does the clack, 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 clack.
Yeah, you, see, exactly.
But don't forget.
Cling, cling, cling. Actually, it's a Ford. It's done. Right. Cling, 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 cling.
I mean, at 2,500 to 3,000 RPM, you're doing 50, 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So you are not lugging the engine unless you're going up a hill.
No, never.
But you already specified that you're on a straightaway, uh-huh. a flat
yes.
surface, and it is perfectly acceptable to be in fifth gear doing 3,000 RPM.
No, he's doing fifth gear at 25 miles an hour.
No, he is not.
No.
He said 2,500 RPM.
25 miles an hour.
At 2,500 RPM, he's doing 50 miles an hour. Your wife is absolutely wrong.
Oh, my God.
Caspita.
Now, the fact that you're Italian has nothing to do with the fact that I'm agreeing with you totally.
Because we disagree with almost all males that call, but we feel a certain kinship.
Yes, we do. We okay. certainly do. No, the truth is, you're not doing any damage to the car. But beyond that, why are you trying to give your wife a hard time? If she says don't do it, it's her car. Just
yeah.
don't do it.
No, he wants to do what's
Why?
Right.
Why?
Oh, it's just come natural to me. I've been driving for 30 years. It's
I
natural when they sound, when I hear the engine.
Do you love this woman?
In a certain way, I just shift.
Marco, even though this woman is only Irish, do you love her?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Sure.
So here's what you do. Take my advice on this. I've had many, many years of unhappy marriages. Whenever she mentions to you, hun, Marco, my dear, she says, you're in fifth gear. You're lugging the engine. You say, oh, how stupid. And make sure you slap your forehead with your hand, with the palm of your hand. Oh, how stupid of me. And you immediately put it into fourth gear and say, I'm sorry. It's a matter of habit. I'll try to break this habit because you're right. That's all it takes. And it's no skin off your nose.
Right, and it'll help if you wear your pants up real high, too.
And keep practicing.
You should go into diplomacy more.
Stand in front of the mirror every morning and practice saying, yes, dear. Yes, dear. And,
okay.
and you'll be a real man like I was.
Buona fortuna, Marco.
Grazie.
Thanks for calling.
Grazie. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Seneca Lake Rump Steak Sponge Cake Milkshake Bran Flake Shake and Bake, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hertz. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pants.
Chip Pants.
Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our official spokesperson is Howie Vasev. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the earmuff-clad sunbathers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our agita-inducing clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week, get all the details on the Car Talk vehicle donation program, where you can donate your used car and benefit your station.
Any used car?
Well, the car has to be easily distinguishable from a compost heap, so your car's out of the running, you know.
Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even those skunks turn up their noses whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.